Hey everybody, welcome back to Auto Transport Intel. It is Friday, it is noon. That means it's time for Cars on the Move, so thank you so much for joining us today. We have an interesting special surprise for you, but before I get you, let you in on the secret, here's what I want you to do. Do me a favor, you see the like button below the video, and you see that share button, you can click share, you can click copy, and you can copy that link, you can text it, email it, share it on social media. We have an international guest today, so if you know somebody that's into automakers and OEMs and finished vehicle logistics, this is the show to check into. And if you missed it live and you're on demand, go ahead and put a comment in the comments below. Be sure to check the video description and do say hello in the live chat if you get the opportunity today. We appreciate it when you guys do that. So, you know, it's a cold day, and so we're going to catch up with Ty. Ty, I believe, is out in the snow. So let's go see what he's doing. Ty, can you see me and hear me okay?
Yeah, can you see and hear me, Jay?
Wow, it looks rough out there, man. Holy cow.
Now the transport parking lot.
And there's a guy loading cars. Yeah, I mean, the audio's blitzy and wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough, man. This is part of car hauling. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm at the auction in the transport parking lot. Right now I'm looking for one. There's been trucks in and out of here all day long, so I've been helping a couple guys get some cars lined up. Great sale. Hey, by the way, Tuesday night, I'm going to talk about Tuesday night. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Tuesday night, that show. Hold on, I'm almost out of the way.
Man, it's brutal out there, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, brutal. The, okay.
Yeah, it is. Tuesday night, that roundtable thing we did, a lot of good things came out of that. And I've talked to a lot of guys since then. And I just want you to know, thanks for having us on. Tell everybody thank you, because it really meant a lot to have everybody out there on the show.
You know, Tuesday night was incredible. For anybody that missed it, Tuesday night was our first live roundtable on YouTube. And if you watch that video, look at the video description. It's the longest description I think I've done so far. Click links. You can see the sections with each person, company names, etc. So no, that was amazing. It was so amazing. We're gonna do it again sooner than I thought. And I don't know exactly when. I think I know when. I'll know probably by the end of the day Monday. I've got another meeting on Monday, and that'll probably dictate. So that's Tuesday night. That was amazing. We had a great dispatching live yesterday. We had great DOT compliance on Wednesday. It's really been a good week. But we saved the best for last. What are we doing today? On the screen it says live with Christopher Ludwig. What does that mean?
Well, wait till you figure this one out, dude. I can't even believe that we have Christopher Ludwig on the show. Wait till you see who this guy is. This is amazing.
Do you
Jay
remember?
Did this too, by the way.
Yeah, I did this. I reached out to him like 2 years ago. Two and a half years ago. We had a meeting, we explained what we were working on, and Christopher and Matt and Marcus, they helped us get to a couple of their conferences. The Automotive Logistics Gang. We're talking OEMs, global OEM contacts. It's actually when you walk in that show, it's pretty overwhelming.
Well, the cool part is, and this is why I like Friday's show, because this is where we connect dealers, auctions, and carriers. And part of dealers is OEM. And that's one thing we don't talk a lot about here, because I'm not the OEM guy. But we did have, remember Joe with Midwestern? He was an OEM guy, and he talked a lot about OEMs. So this is really big, because this Chris guy, this is no joke. Transport guys pay a lot of money to go to Christopher's events and shows. I mean, they pay a lot of money.
Oh.
Why? Because he draws in Toyota, Honda, I don't know who else.
Globus,
just keep going.
Nissan.
Ford.
I mean, everybody is there.
Yeah, this is the guy.
And they're not only there, they're speaking.
Yeah, this is the guy that goes up on the stage and says, here's my friend, Toyota. I mean, this is crazy, okay? So buckle up, because this is going to blow your mind. By the way, he's in England, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Monterey is in the live chat. She said, hello from London. Hey, Monterey, what's going on? Thank you so much. and this is really is neat. And Christopher not only introduces all these heads of OEMs on the stage, but interacts and knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it's it's big.
Pretty amazing. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and bring Christopher into our live Zoom meeting. Here we're streaming on YouTube. Christopher.
Hello.
Welcome to the live stream on Cars on the Move on Auto Transport Intel. Thank you for taking the time to join us today.
It's my pleasure, Jay. Great to see you.
Wow, it is great to see you. And I missed you guys this year. I was hoping to see you. We were supposed to be in California. When was that? Was that a year ago?
Well, when was that? I think the original dates would have been, you're right, either May or June of 2020, but in the before time in BC, right, before COVID.
BC before COVID. Right?
I can barely even remember what it was like in the before times. But we would have been seeing each other in California, in Baltimore, in Detroit, all the places we, in our kind of North America, tour along with our global tour.
Right. Where were some of the other international spots you were recently?
Where we were before. Well, the last event we did on the eve of this, and actually, as it turns out, I would say more in the eye of it, as little did we know, we were in Mexico City in, end of February 2020, when things were really starting to get worse. But, thinking back then, I think everyone was a bit naive, and it was, it's not here, it's over there, and then it's over here, and then it's over there, and then, oh God, it's here. So that was in Mexico at the end of February. Before that, we would have been, we're based in London.
It was Belgium or there was somewhere in Europe.
Sure. Yeah. So we're based in London. So we had events in London. We were in Budapest. We were in Munich. We've typically in a given year or in China, we've been in the past in Brazil and Russia. We've kind of India as well. In more recent years, we were probably a bit more Europe and North America focused, but nonetheless, for our physical events, the international circuit was very key to our, to our kind of overall content program and agenda. Arguably, in the PC in post COVID, we're as international and global, perhaps more, given the ability to reach sort of more places and stuff as well. But North America, US, I would say, is our largest readership for our online publication. Was the kind of was also from the event side, we had most events and most attendees there, and now on our virtual sort of our own live stream versions and digital events, it's also quite a healthy share of our marketplace. But we keep that global view is really key when you're looking at the wider automotive supply chain.
When I look at global finished vehicle logistics and automakers for information, you're the resource. So thank you for doing that.
Well, no, thank you. I appreciate that. And that's been part of our, I guess, our objective for the last 20 odd years. I haven't been there for all of those, but long enough of it. And we sort of just tried to build relationships at the top supply chain logistics levels at car makers across the world. Whether it's the global responsible head.
Oh, we had an internet shakeup. Hold on to your desks. We're okay. Keep going. We just had an internet hiccup. Please keep going.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, it was me.
Okay, cool. It's also part of the now times as well, isn't it? So, I think it's really key to bring those perspectives to other regions and understand. It's interesting. I mean, for us, sometimes we've connected companies within companies. So heads of sometimes your regional supply chain divisions are very regionally focused and didn't always communicate with others on other sides. So finished vehicle logistics is a good example because although the inbound side of that would be pretty connected because you're sourcing parts from all around the world. If you were certain Japanese car makers, for example, in Europe, actually didn't have that much to interaction with their counterparts in the US or North America. But actually we've often over the years brought those kinds of people together. It sounds funny like to do it in their own company, but it happens.
It's a great point because we know, we just saw this Tuesday night, people we've talked to online, we got to see face to face, and it is like a revelation.
Yeah.
It's a total game changer of the relationship itself. The ability to remember each other, know what each other's doing. And I want to say this too, is that those conferences that we went to of yours, was it 2018 or no, 2019?
I think you would have been at the 2019 ones. Yeah. As
Baltimore
well.
And Detroit. I'm so thankful we got to be there. I mean, I'm so thankful. Thank you so much. They were great.
Thanks for that.
Okay, Christopher. I was just talking about you. You run around with some big names. Who are some of the big names you run around with in the OEM world?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we're pretty much in pretty good contact. I think if we're on North America side, you know, we've got good contacts at that. Pretty much all of the majors, whether it's GM, FCA, Toyota, you know, Nissan, particularly those heads of logistics, supply chain, and finished vehicle in North America, but very much across the pond here as well in Europe. We're in very close contact often with the Volkswagen groups, the Audis. You know, in like I said, you know, we're not traveling to see them right now, but we're interacting probably even more with some key people. So just, you know, one example, Susanna Lehmann, who's the director of production North America for Volkswagen, coordinating across Mexico, across Mexican plants, across Chattanooga, both for vehicles as well as the powertrain production in Mexico. A fantastic contact, knows logistics really, really well because she actually came out of logistics. She, you know, we knew her first in Shanghai when she was working in Volkswagen's joint venture in China. She went with different roles in Germany, been in North America last couple of years, spoke at a Mexico conference, and then she'll be joining us in a couple of weeks in an event that we have. And you know, you just get a great perspective because she's really responsible for production, but she knows and appreciates logistics so much that it's really key for her to understand, for example, what the challenges are on the vehicle distribution side, whether it's the border, whether it's damage rates of hauling vehicles out of the plant in Mexico or out of rail in Mexico, whether it's the electrification program, which is coming to Chattanooga, and how you do coordinate that from a supply chain side, production, preparing carriers for it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's the joy of the role, I guess, the joy of the job is the chance to talk to some of these companies about what their challenges are right now. And, you know, pretty much all the major OEMs are part of our network. They're not always at every event. But, you know, I think you would have seen that at the couple of events that you guys came to as well. If we're, you know, Detroit in 2019, which is our global North America conference, it's pretty much the main players who participate in that kind of event.
Yeah. And that one was one that really blew me away was the Detroit, the supply chain that, you know, I've been in transportation. No idea what, I mean, you know it, but when you hear it, different thing. Now, Jay said that you've got something coming up. Is that right? What's coming up, Jay? Or Christopher?
Yeah. Okay, what yeah, Christopher, that? Tell us, and I'm going to start sharing some screenshots.
Yeah,
okay?
Sure. Yeah, so thanks for that. And I think, what is it, 2 weeks from Tuesday, so February 2nd and 3rd, we've got our North America Automotive Logistics Supply Chain North America live conference. So, you know, as Jay was saying, you know, we've had this global tour of logistics conferences around the world and quite a few in North America. Clearly we're not doing those right now for obvious reasons, but we've been doing these digital events. We had a pretty big one in September. This is our first North America really focused dedicated conference. You can see some of the speakers like Suzanne, who I named there. There's more coming. This is updated, you know, kind of day by day. But we're going to be drilling down into some of the major trends and challenges facing in North America, whether it's, you know, kind of adapting in the post-COVID era to supply chain resiliency, managing the challenges that have come out of that.
And dealing look at with- that. Look at that list. Automotive leaders. Anybody got that? No. Nobody else has that.
We're lucky in that, you know, because obviously all these names you see, they're also going to be the people on the logistics and the supply chain side, right? So you know, it's the relevant people for people in this space. I wouldn't for a second discount the names and stuff that an Automotive News and others get when they bring together. Clearly, they're, you know, places like that are getting fantastic speakers as well. But you know, we're
sure. Like, oh gosh, yes, absolutely. Like, you're absolutely right on that.
We're unique because if you want to understand what's really specific to the logistics challenges of it, then this is the place to be. Right. You know? And you know, when we've got so many of them right now, I mean, the supply chain, but from a good and I mean that in a good way too, the supply chain has been, I think, front and center of the challenges and opportunities that the industry is facing over the last years. You know, from COVID, especially, because if you think back of when the shortages started in China and all of a sudden, you know, oh, maybe we can't produce this because these parts are coming from China, to the restrictions and it came and all of a sudden everyone realized, my God, what is the visibility that I don't have in my supply chain, trying to get on top of that to keep, you know, and then shut down the plant safely in a way that kind of didn't lead to loads of obsolescence with parts. So how do you store those material in an optimal way to get ready to produce, to get the vehicles out to market when they're ready? And now dealing with sort of the inventory tight shortages we've seen, it's sort of everything's about the supply chain. And how you kind of visibility around it, planning around it, resiliency around it. So, you know, for us, as a kind of media group dedicated to this, it's been a big challenge like anybody, because obviously, you know, we can't travel, we can't do the things that we used to do, but man, a lot to talk about, a lot of innovation,
gosh, right? The adaptations that have gone into place in the past year, it is, and that's in everything. That's what makes everything so interesting to talk about in detail and minutia. I mean, Ty's at an auction right now. That auction has been affected.
I can imagine.
You know, I've got a question that Jay and I really try to keep this what we call a family show, and we try to avoid certain topics, but I mean, it's almost like the political aspect to what you talk about and what you do has got to be huge. Is that true?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that, so that if we could take a couple of examples there. So one is like Brexit, you know, obviously. So just to be specific about where I am now, and obviously we're 2 weeks into the real Brexit after, you know, left the European single market and customs union, whole set of new rules and regulations that really impact supply chains, impact, you know, moving vehicles in and out of the UK, parts and things like that. Brexit as a topic, or if you look in North America, USMCA, the trade deal, you know, with Mexico, they are highly politicized, you know, geopolitical issues. I think what's important there, though, when we talk to our, you know, people at GM, or we talk to Jaguar Land Rover, we talk to the companies that are managing it, I mean, for them, it can't be that. They have to be careful too. It's their jobs are not politics. Their jobs are making this stuff work, regardless of you know, what's kind of happening, what the rules are there. So, you know, with Brexit, trust me, I could in a different show, we can talk politics on that.
Well, and Brexit's such a great example, great topic, Ty, because in here in America, when's the last time you heard someone say Brexit? I mean, it's been months.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And even when it was talked about, it's not well understood. Frankly, I don't think I try to read articles about it, put my hands around it, but, you know, so that's a great example.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you, even without fully understanding, I mean, if you understand one thing about the supply chain, it's now that, you know, let's say a car that was built in the UK that they get sold in Germany or vice versa, you know, December 30th, 2020 could just, you know, get on a ferry, get on a ro-ro ship, move across from one port to another, like it was moving from New York to New Jersey, like it was just, you know, on any route. I mean, there's some rules around how long the vehicle from, like a truck from the UK can stay in Germany, but it was pretty seamless. you know, as of December 31st, 11 p.m. UK time, change. You need a customs declaration form. You need different kind of permits and stuff. So it's a there's a border there that wasn't there before. Now, it's sort of, for many people, it's not too different than shipping a car now from between the UK and the US. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't erupt it, but it's a process change. And I think the point I would make there, again, is the people we're speaking to, they got to solve the problem. I mean, you know, can they now influence the politics of it? No, but obviously they can work with suppliers, technology to optimize the flow of information to make it as seamless as possible. I guess for us, that's where we have to, as the role that we help to play, is to bring people together to kind of solve issues like that. But we see, you know, we see impacts of geopolitics all the time. Look at the chip and semiconductor shortages that right now, which are kind of leading to shortages of supplies, causing some car makers to cut production, both in North America and especially we're seeing it in Europe. I mean, some of that is directly related to tariffs that were put on China in the US-China trade war. It's not the only reason for it, by the way. Obviously, there was a fire at a semiconductor plant in Japan. There's more kids than ever, and adults, by the way, playing Xbox and PlayStation who demand microchips, and we just can't keep up with it, and the industry got it wrong. But that's like, you know, those issues reverberate across the supply chain, and you have to understand them. We have to be practical about them, too. You know, I'm not going to go to the head of logistics at GM and say, what do you think of USMCA? Or what do you personally think about, you know, what we should or shouldn't do with the Iran deal? It's what do we do? How do you manage? How do you kind of, you know, does it impact your purchasing decision? Does it impact on your material flow, on your costs and things like that? So, yeah, you're absolutely right. We feel the repercussions all the time of things happening around the world.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I say
so
a lot.
Eloquent. So eloquent. I love it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that Jay and I talk about in the used car market in North America is I always say car dealers will figure it out. That's one thing you can count on. They will figure out how to buy a car and how to sell a car, I promise. So kind of ties into what I think I hear you saying, which is, you know, we can dive into the actual problem, but that's probably not going to fix it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, here's how we're going to make this work.
Right.
And I can see that, you know, and a lot of times I've always felt like OEM trickles down to the used car. So I've been a used car guy for 20 years and I've seen these guys through the good times and through the bad times, they figure it out. So yeah. I'm assuming it's a similar situation for you too.
Great, great point. And we've been pretty, you know, I think when we started covering the real, I'd say when everything really started to fall down in February, March last year, with the pandemic spreading, you know, from China across Europe and then escalating, and we started to see shutdowns of each of the plants, or the restrictions come in and then the shutdowns. And there were points when we were looking at it and saying, and talking to many people and saying, Mike, this is going to be such a catastrophe because not only are the plants shut down, but the, you know, suppliers are going to go bust and it's going to be disarray. There's going to be parts all around the world. We're going to really struggle to get going again. Some of the worst came true, of course. Some of it did. It's not all perfect. But by and large, the resiliency of the supply chain has been probably the biggest story because actually they did, many has figured it out. And if I take to your example on dealers and auctions and used cars, I mean, here in Europe, in the UK, we've had various lockdowns, various restrictions where the dealers have to close or they have to end, let's say, physical sales. So you can't do in-person sales. But the transition to online has been, you know, so swift and so much faster than anybody thought. You know, going into COVID, most of the European dealers had so small level of online sales. Whereas now in certain markets where the only thing they could do was online with a click and collect. So, you know, you could basically complete it online and then either the delivery comes to your door or is arranged contactless, you know, at the dealer or an alternate location. We almost take that for granted now, but it was a year ago this time. That wasn't happening. So, you know, and we've seen obviously that what online auctions, as you can speak to much, much better than me, but we, you know, the kind of growth and shift to that has been quite phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, and I concur. I agree. And then, you know, it's funny when we were in, I think it was Detroit, Marcus was explaining to me how you guys buy and sell cars where you guys are, and it just completely blew my mind. I still think what, but definitely some good stuff. And I do think, just as a people, as a whole, we seem to figure out how to get things done. So that's cool.
I'll tell you what, this is great. This is awesome, and we got a few minutes left. I would say on my wish list, if you know, since we've been through all this, I would love to make it to like a future event in China with all the battery technology and the EV technology. That's the hotbed of what's happening. Do you agree with that, Christopher? Am I right about that?
You're right, but I think the good news on that is that it's coming somewhere close to you soon. So I mean, the real push right now is on that battery technology, and also on the kind of scaling up of battery production and supply chains globally. So, you know, I know we only have a couple of minutes, so I won't bore you with all the details, but in Europe, for example, I think there's a pipeline. You know, I've got a colleague, and we can share more of this on another one too as well. We've done some research on the battery supply chain and you know, the pipeline of lithium ion battery factories, which is coming to Europe over the next couple of years. You know, there's something like 60, 70 in the pipeline right now, just to kind of, and that may not even meet the demand for production, which is coming because there's so much regulatory push for EV and the EV path and EV growth rate is so high. And now we're seeing a lot of that in North America too. It is a bit slower because, you know, the electrification pace has been a little bit slower. I think that's starting to quickly change.
I mean, GM just changed their name and Tesla's killing it. I mean, what other major automakers do you think fit in that category of really pushing EV?
Yeah, Volkswagen, for example, for sure. I mean, here in Europe, that's definitely the biggest investor. And I can't even, you know, the numbers, it just, you can't get your head around that. It goes from 30 billion to 40 billion to, you know, every bit, and they keep advancing that. You know, that's on top of making a lot of other kind of cost efficiencies elsewhere, but the money and investment goes there. So Volkswagen definitely scaling up, and they're bringing a couple of products to North America as well, as I mentioned. So you've got a electric SUV getting built in Chattanooga over the next coming years. You know, Mercedes is going to bring also an electric SUV to produce in the U.S. So that, I think you'll see it, you know, BMW already with the plug-in X5. And I'm sure there'll be some more coming to North America there as well. I think all of the, with, watch out now that FCA and PSA, Peugeot are merging. One of the big reasons for that is that PSA has electric platform that are a bit further ahead than FCA in some ways. So I think you'll probably see some sharing of those platforms and will speed up some of the electrification for FCA. So really, I think everyone is going in that way. But those are some of the, you know, I think those are some of the faster movers of it right now. And then lots of brands who are breaking in, whether it's your Lucids or launching Rivian. You know, these guys are going to be really interesting to watch. And I think, you know, for North America, I think the, like the electric SUV, the electric pickup, and how that develops will be real game changer, right? Because, you know, obviously right. Tesla's changed the game from that side, but if you can give to people where they live, and we know that Americans love a pickup truck, and if you can electrify it and make
they
it work,
do. Then Americans still love their pickup trucks.
They love their pickup truck.
They do.
Well, you know, and I keep a close eye on, well, I shouldn't say close, but I follow a few stocks that are fuel cells. I guess I'm assuming they're fuel cells, and they're related to this electrification of vehicles. And I'm watching the stock price do this.
Whoa. Whoa.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy right now. I haven't tracked myself personally as much the fuel cell side, but, you know, I think, obviously, Tesla, as you know, then NIO, obviously a Chinese electric vehicle maker who still only sold a couple thousand cars at the end of the day, is worth, I think they're worth more than GM and Ford put together right now. It's just unbelievable.
How does that work?
No
branding.
Do you have 5 hours?
Carvana.
Carvana. That's what I was looking for. That's right.
There you go. Carvana.
And the Amazon that's how you do promise. It. Yes. Wow.
Well, this was so amazing, man. Amazing. I mean,
pleasure.
This just gives me goosebumps and makes me excited. So I really, I know I appreciate it. I know Jay does too, but thank you.
Yeah.
Anytime, please, you know, happy to come back, and we'll likewise, I'm sure we know, and to the audience as well, please to feel free to check out the events and stuff we're doing, keep collaborating with you guys and communicating with this audience. And, you know, it means a lot to us as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Christopher. All right. Have a great one. Hi to London, and we'll keep in touch.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. See ya. All right. Hey, Ty, stick around for a second. What we'll do is we'll wrap up the show. I'll put Christopher back in the waiting room, and we'll just finish this up. Listen, I just want to say that was amazing. Okay, that's amazing, and it's really neat for us, for this channel and our community, because I never really actually saw that we'd be here. You know, you can't know what can happen. We try hard, we work hard. We network like crazy. We learn. And we already knew some things, but still, I think one of my favorite moments is we were getting some food in Detroit. And, okay, I got my plate of food now. And I've got, like, Caesar salad and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm in my, you know, sport coat. And I'm like, and I turn around. I'm like, I don't know where we're going to sit. There's a room full of automaker executives. And I'm like, I don't know where we're going to sit. And you're like, follow me. And we go sit down at a table. We grab a couple chairs. And we are complete fish out of water. And we, within a few minutes, we're talking with Franklin. What was his name?
Yeah, Honda. He was with Honda. But I think he moved on.
I think he's with Glovis now. But had an amazing time. And that's what trade shows are all about. That's why I just preach. Go to trade shows.
Well, that was the same table we met Victor. Charles. Remember Victor?
Yes, that's
we met where Charles we met Victor. And Victor.
And they now work
Victor
together.
Glovis.
Yes, they work together at Glovis. Yes.
Yeah. So you guys can tell that that's not our world. But when we're sitting there talking to these guys, you know, I'm thinking about all of our big transport buddies, and it's to have that relationship, which Jay put that together. Everybody, Jay did that. But to have that relationship with Christopher Ludwig. Automotive logistics, all the, you know, Jay did that, and that's huge. And what you just saw right there, go back and watch it again and watch it again and one more time. There's a lot there, I promise.
Oh, man, that is an amazing organization. And so here's what I want to do. I just want to close out with this, and I want to say that just to get specific, you go to automotivelogistics.media, okay? And let me get rid of this. There you go. Go to automotivelogistics.media, and what you do is, if you go to, you see this events, click on the events, and by the way, while you're there, get signed up. See if you can get signed up with their magazine and their resources. Anyways, this is the event. It starts in 2 weeks, February 2nd, and here's what's cool. You click on register now, and you can go through the registration process. And no, it's not free because, I mean, we are talking heavy hitters globally in automaking, but we have a code ATI30. You can get 30% discount on the registration, which, you know, that might make it feasible. And here's the thing: 2 days practical, insightful, inspiring keynote talks, 20 hours of live broadcasts, engaging panels, interactive e-booths. What you want to do is this: tell your company owner, listen, man. We got to get in on. I threw a graphic up there for Paul. You tell your owner, listen, we got to get in on this. We got to start learning about this stuff as it's happening. Who's got $150? Let's log into this thing. 2 days. It's unbelievable. Now, you won't be at the buffet and sitting at the table with Charles Franklin and me and Ty yet. But that's where you're headed when you get juiced into this kind of information.
It really is. And guys, like I said, I've done it 20 years. I'm not an OEM guy, but the amount of stuff and the number of people and the relationships that were made between Baltimore and you know, here's the crazy part, guys. It wasn't just, you know, I get excited about OEM, but Jay will tell you, I'll tell you, how many transport guys did we meet? big name. Remember Brothers? What was, and, I mean, we, and Proficient,
okay,
Virginia.
So this is exactly, and this is where it gets interesting, because at these shows, the transporters at these shows are picking up what we're laying down. And they actually, they were there before we were. Luckily, we figured it out. Yeah. And so there are select groups in transportation logistics that have figured this out. These trade shows are gold.
Yeah. So what he said, Jay's saying, if you've got somebody sitting at the office, preferably maybe owner or guy next below the owner, what we're trying to tell you is get tapped into this, especially if you have the desire to build a fleet and you might be a broker with assets. Get tapped into this. I'm serious. So this guy is sharp. I mean, you got maybe 15, 20 minutes of him.
Just I know. Sit in for an hour. That's the most time I've ever had with Christopher, right?
Me too.
Because he's a busy guy. He knows everybody. It is unbelievable.
Yeah,
and here's one of the things too. Here's some context. When we say talk to the dealer, and let's say you get there and you're standing in front of them and you're trying to figure out what do we talk about? These events will fill your head with stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They're at.
You can pick up right there. What's Volkswagen do? I mean, there were so many things in that little section there with Christopher. You ought to be able to talk to a dealer for an hour. I mean, I'm wanting to go find somebody just to ask them if they know.
Right, exactly. And he's going to be like, what? Wait a minute, what do you do? Right? I haul cars. Really?
Yeah. I'm a car hauler.
You're not like a manager somewhere? Yeah, I am. I'm a business owner and I'm a businessman and I want to talk business.
Yeah, and it's exactly. Industry. You know, we're in the car business, whether you like it or not. Matter of fact, I'll wrap it up with this.
Cool.
I sent you a link through LinkedIn, and it was a sales guy. You got that still?
Let's see. Let me log into LinkedIn. And you sent me a link.
Well, I'm sorry. That guy. That guy. I can't remember his name. He did the little video. What do you think? Commission or salary? I think it was a little video.
The
guy had his ball cap on this morning.
Selling cars like candy bars.
Yeah. That guy.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Well, my point is this guy, okay, this guy is selling cars. He's started something and he's helping other guys sell cars.
Yes.
And the point is that all the way from the dude that nobody wants to talk to at the car lot, the guy that Jay's always making fun of, the guy that's all standing out front when you pull in, they're like, like that.
Oh, the vultures? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Without those guys, I'm telling you, we don't have a job. You know, it's like the big boys talking about the wedgies. Okay. If you don't have the sales guy, you don't have a job. Christopher, if we don't sell cars, what are we going to do?
Right.
We have screw supply chain.
Ty just put me in my place live on my own show.
Hey, man, we're all part of it.
That's
buddy.
Right. Well,
we're all touches.
It is amazing. So I guess without, I don't know how to put an amazing star.
It's
at the
another
end of this,
great show.
This was a great show, man.
ATI.
Thank you so much, dude.
No, that's Christopher, and that's you. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. Thank you, Automotive Logistics. Can't wait to see you guys again. Hopefully, maybe not this year, but hopefully 2022. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's say
you know
that.
What they got this for?
2022, we're hitting the circuit again. Well, I'm assuming it's just like a squeegee, get the water up. Yeah, move the water.
You got to get rid of the water, dude.
Yeah. And, you know, thin it out, dry it out.
Well, when you got the sail and people are walking, you got to keep the water off so they don't slip and fall. Another liability, okay? Right. Another reason why auctions maybe don't want dealers in the auction.
Look at that. The digital auction insurance agent just rang the bell.
Yeah. That's good. Well, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that the doors are open, and I'm happy people are running around. And I'm happy. I love hauling cars and people. Happy Friday. Have a good weekend. Watch this. Wait. I gotta go move some cars.
Oh man, brutal out there.
Woo, we're back.
Look at that, man.
It beautiful.
Winter wonderland.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, that's where we're at, and I think If you're ready to call it a show, I am.
But yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to sign off. I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much, Ty. We'll see you next week.
Have a good one. Thanks, Jay. All right, hey, do we have a meeting later today?
Do we have anything? We're live. We do this. Oh, yeah. We have a 4 o'clock. I'll see you. I'll see you at 4 o'clock. We have a meeting. That's right.
This is a proof that Jay and I don't talk.
Right, exactly.
Live.
Right, exactly. All right,
I'll see you at
4 o'clock, buddy. Good evening. All right, man. Later.
Bye.
Oh, okay. I'm going to let Ty go. And, guys, I want to thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Christopher Ludwig, and all of the automotive logistics team. Their events are awesome. We can't believe we had them live on the show. And check. How is my audio? You know, sometimes it changes. Even at the end of the show, I'm a perfectionist, even down to the last minute. Let me raise that up. See if you can hear me. Okay, mic check. Okay, I think we're okay. So, but I really do appreciate it. And thank you for comments in the live chat. That means a lot, gives us perspective of how we're doing, and also lets me share information. Yes, Knucklehead, we need each other. Monterey, thank you all so much. Chris Chamberlain, thanks for tuning in, too. And we know that, we didn't have, we didn't have 100 people here, and that's okay. There is something different happening, and we're excited about it. I had an amazing meeting yesterday where the president of an alliance organization said, you know, this is pretty amazing what you guys are doing. So we're here, and man, this locomotive is running, and we want to help you. So if you need anything, go ahead and do this. You can go and you can sign up. I'll share the where's the sign up screen. You can go sign up, go to autotransportintel.com, click on sign up. I put the link in the live chat. Let us know how we can help you. And Tuesday night, dude, ARI Fleet Management. They're going to be live with us. I bet you don't even know who ARI is. This is my guess, okay? But it's a big deal. It's a big company, and it's going to be an amazing show. Fleet management is a huge part of how vehicles are managed, bought and sold, inventory, etc. Logistics. Lots of logistics and lots of networking connection to so many other companies. So it's going to be a great show. Please do tune in for Tuesday night's live. We'll see you there. I was going to share the. I'll tell you what. I'll do you a favor. I'll just do this. I know you're already subscribed, and I do appreciate it. But I'm going to grab the link to that show, and I'm going to put it in the live chat. Here it is. Tuesday night's live link. Here's the show link. I just put it in the live chat. You'll see it right there. So you can click on that. Set your reminder. We'll see you Tuesday night. Thanks, everybody. Stay safe, and we'll see you soon.